You are now listening to the Curtis King Podcast. What's going on with you, and welcome to the Curtis King Podcast. I want to welcome all of the music producers, the thinkers, and the creatives alike to a new episode that is going to be dedicated to the independent you. The independent music producer, the independent entrepreneur. No matter what you're doing, I think getting an understanding, especially in connection with the last podcast episode, will help you to understand this alternative route to success. This alternative route into doing what you love full time. There's things that I want to share with you today that I hope will prepare you for the journey, that will prepare you for the, you know, prepare your expectations. Even though every single person alive has a different journey and story to get to doing full-time work and doing the work that they love, I think that having some kind of framework, which is something I didn't have, which is probably why it took so long and so many different loops and journeys before I inevitably ended up doing the work that I'm doing right now, which is the most fulfilling work that I've done, aside from, you know, working with artists and doing all these different things and getting placements and all the stuff that is more so traditionally imprinted within the industry. This right here is for sure the move for me. And just to refresh your memories, last week we talked about a direct message that I received from a producer that's in the traditional industry that represents what I like to say is an outdated perspective of what it means to be a successful music producer. There are people out there that are convinced that there's only one route to success in this. There are people out there that are convinced that if you're not getting placements, if you're not on television, which is such a crazy, just even repeating it sounds crazy, they're convinced that you don't even exist, or you're always at a lower level, right? When they don't acknowledge the fact that you are an entrepreneur who owns a small business. And in the same way, a mom and pop restaurant, an independent insurance agency in your city, in your local city, gets their respect for starting something up, the same way a bakery, a family-owned bakery, is created, right? All these different furniture store, all these different things that we have seen throughout the years that represent someone's independent journey, that also is being reflected in the new music producer, in the modern music producer. And we're not going to go back into the spiel about explaining there's alternative ways. I think what would be better suited is for me to give you some foresight, but also give you some perspective into how I inevitably got to this place where I'm doing what I love. But it seems like I do so many different things because I do. But that may not be necessary for you. But after I explain this, maybe you will see it as something that will be a part of your journey. Now, the independent music producer. Let's get rid of some of the, I guess, cliches or some of the falsehoods about it. Some people hear the term independent, and another term that I don't really like using, which is underground, sort of has some age to it right now. They use these terms sort of to poke at music creators and say, well, you're only that because you couldn't be this. You're only independent, or you're only underground because you couldn't get your shit popping. You're only doing that because that's all that you have left. And they say this such in such a short-sighted way, they don't acknowledge the actual work that goes into it, the actual independence, the actual freedom that goes into wearing that hat or holding to that, holding on to that title. But what does that look like? When I first began making music, I had no idea of all the different hats that I would have to wear. I did it in the beginning as a means to make me more visible in the industry. So I hadn't even defined, I wasn't even like set upon being independent at that point. I was a part of that mindset of folks who sort of have one foot in the industry, another foot in independence, and they're like, yo, whatever pop off first, I'm gonna run to that direction full speed. Which is not a terrible plan, because you won't, how will you know what's gonna work for you unless you test it out, right? But it is one that wastes a lot of time. And when it comes to your value in the industry, when it comes to your value independently, the foundation of that will always be, what did you build on your own? Right? What were you able to create on your own? What kind of a fan base were you able to construct and gather and nurture? What were you able to do, especially now? That's even more evident now because of all the tools we have as independent artists and music producers. In the beginning, I did all these different things just to raise my visibility, hoping to get signed, which is very laughable now. And although it gave me the opportunity to get in front of a lot of A&Rs, in front of a lot of labels, I was deemed too different or too risky to actually take that chance on. Now, when I align with DJs and industry individuals that were able to sort of mold me, those chances increased. However, what I found in that molding process was that I did not like who I was becoming. And I felt myself losing touch with the independence that I found through selling beats online. Now, I know this timeline is all over the place, but I got to give you a little bit of perspective, right? Now, I talked about last week how selling beats was my full-blown commitment to being independent, right? And how I was sort of brought into this business of selling beats initially, kind of like in a desperate situation. And through doing business in that way, I was blown away in seeing how much how much momentum and how much success I was able to find in such a short period of time, thanks to the folks that were mentoring me at that period of time. But I was shocked how much movement and how much traction I was able to gain through selling beats online to complete strangers compared to me sending emails, trying to get placed, getting in studios, pressing play on beats that I know they probably don't work. They don't want, right? Making music that was a watered down version of me, so that I could make these connections, and then one day after making all these connections, then I can finally do the music I want to do. Something felt odd about that. Something never really set in for me. And it wasn't the factor of having to sacrifice what I wanted to make. It just didn't feel like that's the only way. And so in selling beats, it showed me, you know, forget the act of selling beats, forget the act of, let me turn my phone off, forget the act of selling beats, forget the thoughts that are associated. A lot of people have bad connotations when it comes to licensing beats and all that. Ignore all of that for right now. The fact that I was able, into those first few months to generate thousands of dollars a month from home off of a laptop and a SoundClick page. I was able to generate money on a consistent basis, and it didn't require me to have cosigns that you must wait on. It didn't require me to get an okay for a placement that I must wait on. It didn't require me kissing ass or shaking hands or networking or getting into these circles. It didn't require any of that. All it required was for me to pull myself up by my bootstraps and get to it. When I started selling beats, it showed me my own potential that I could not see when I was pursuing industry endeavors. That became the beginning of all this. So my independence started as me selling beats online. So first step, ladies and gentlemen. And obviously there's different ways I would have done this. Like I went from working full-time jobs to just quitting altogether and having to figure this thing out while going through situations that were borderline homeless, while going through some impoverished situations that could have been completely avoided had I had a plan. But my first step to independence was to try on different creative hats, which I did. The industry was one of them, to see which one fit best with my personality. There's a book, and I didn't read it at the time, but it's something that confirmed that first step. Tim Ferriss has a book called The 4-Hour Workweek, which is, you know, the title tells you what it's about, but it's more than just trying to make a full-time living off of 4 hours of work. It really is about dedicating and exerting your energy towards the task that actually take care of your bottom line, right? That give you the opportunity to spend your time doing things that you love as opposed to the things that you don't love. One of the things in there that I really, really resonated with was Tim Ferriss said, a lot of folks have it wrong in that they find a career and they go all the way with it. And that's they don't even acknowledge what comes along with that career. They just go all the way for it. They say, I want this. They want all the shiny things that come along with it. But they have no idea about the lifestyle. And that's generally the thing that starts to crumble first, right? The thing that they start to have issues with first is the lifestyle of the career that they chose. So he said, I suggest that you find a lifestyle or establish a lifestyle that fits your personality, that fits your likes, right? Find a lifestyle first that fits your personality. Some people want to have the luxury to just leave on a Tuesday from work and just go to the beach anytime they want. Some people look at that as lazy. Some people say, I want the flexibility to see my family anytime that I want. Some people say, well, you need to get away from your family in order to stay focused. Some people prefer late night studio sessions. I'm not one of them. I've done millions of them. And I didn't recognize. You know what it is? It's not that I don't like late night studio sessions. I don't like late night studio sessions for someone else's music. That sounds super selfish, but it's honest. I don't like late night studio sessions for somebody else's music. That is so selfish. I get it. I can own that. I don't like sitting in there and being an arm of part of someone else's machine. Right? Maybe I got control issues. I don't know what it is. I'm sure that's a part of it. But if I'm going to be working on something late night, I want it to be working on something that I led the charge on. I want it to be something that I'm supremely passionate about. I want it to be something that I feel like the collaboration is an equal synergy, an equal exchange of ideas. And so when I pursued being a music producer in the industry, I didn't acknowledge that maybe there's parts of that lifestyle that may conflict with my personality. So, first step for me, I had to find work, not even find work, but find a lifestyle that would suit my personality. I'm a homebody. Like, I enjoy going out. I enjoy, you know, going places and all of that, but I'm a homebody. That's just who, that's my story right now. I'm a homebody. I enjoy being out. I enjoy, like, that's why we have the kind of house that we have. All kind of toys. I'm a grown ass man with an arcade downstairs. Got an Xbox in the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, say what you want. I enjoy having an adult playground. That's a lifestyle that I can rock with, right? My wife don't know, but I'm finna get that NBA Jam arcade machine in here too. I like that. Like gadgets. I like walking into a room and feeling inspired to create something. Doesn't even have to be music, just something. I love campaigning ideas. And so Selling Beats was my first journey into independence. Okay, so let's establish that. Find something that you're able to generate some sort of consistent income, or even just some income first, right? Find something you could generate some income off of, because it's going to be very important that this thing that's generating income has the power to not only pay your bills eventually, right? I'm not telling you to quit your job, but you want this to be something that can at least pay your bills on, I guess, a minimum wage salary. And for a lot of folks, especially depending on what state you're living in, that's still not good enough. That's why I say don't quit your job, right? Use your job as your angel investor. But the first thing when it comes to independence, what does this look like? You must find something that can generate you income. Even if it takes you 5 to 6 months for that to happen consistently, you got to find something. Now, it wasn't Selling Beats for me that was the first thing I ever made my music money off of. I made my first music money off of making custom MySpace pages, right? It dates itself saying that out loud. But I did it, which showed me that I possibly had a skill for graphic design, which I didn't pursue. I ended up just using it for myself, because I figured out part of that lifestyle is going through multiple drafts with people who don't know what the hell they want. That don't sit well with me. Sitting here and having to wait for somebody to tell, yeah, I don't like that. What you don't like about it? I don't know. I just don't feel it. No, that ain't gonna work for me. All these hours just dedicated to some album cover or some MySpace website that I'm not really passionate about. Nah, it's not gonna do it for me. But in doing these different things, right, in getting into like even shooting videos for myself, it showed me like there may be a pivot at some point for me to get into videography. But I wouldn't know that had I not tried some different creative adventures. But you find that one thing that is going to generate income for you. And it may not just be selling beats. It may be something that you need to do in order to sell beats. Videography, right? I don't know why my phone is going off like this right now. My apologies. Let me turn this off. It may be something that you're required to do in order to be visible, right? It may be your ability to make winning Facebook ads. It may be your ability to create these amazing chord progressions that you end up turning into MIDI stock files or MIDI ripcord packs. It may be your attention to sound design. It may be your attention to graphic design, as I mentioned earlier. It may be your attention to video editing. One of these things are going to end up being something that you look at as almost like a secondary passion that you can pursue, but you're going to need to find something. Now, had I had it to do over again, I would have ideally liked to at least be sitting on 6 months worth of income from a job. That would have been the safe way to go about it. That'd have been lovely. It's not what I had, though. I had nothing. So I had to find, I put myself against the wall. And maybe that's part of the extra kick in the ass to get it done, but I don't suggest that for everybody because everybody's not going to have the same results, obviously. But you got to find something first and foremost. When you find that, what it's going to naturally put you in the head, the mindset of, is to diversify it. When you finally get this thing going, right, and it's taking care of your essentials and your bills, when you see that and you're like, man, I'm living off of music, I'm living cool, I'm not getting a whole lot of profit, but I'm at least getting above minimum wage, right? I'm not stressing for anything, but I'm at least getting it. And it may be a process that takes a year, 2 years. That's fine. Once you get at that level, though, you're going to get in the mindset then of, okay, this has now given me access to clients, other musicians, other producers that may need other services. Maybe that's when you start to get into mixing and mastering, right? Maybe based upon your success as a beat selling producer, now you're looking and saying, let's do consultations. That's what I did. The basis of this is basically, this is not only the beginning of your independence, but it's the beginning of you creating an ecosystem so that your independence can not only diversify, but it can survive during the heaviest and scariest times of being a small business. I saw a stat that said somewhere around 90% of small businesses close the, like, restaurants, I think it was. 90% of small businesses, small restaurants close down within the first 2 years because of money or lack thereof. So it's going to be crucial for you to first find that one thing and then diversify to what makes the most logical sense. For me, it was consultations. There were producers that said, look, I see the success you have. Can you talk to me about it? Right? Another pivot for me was YouTube. Because I looked and I said, man, there are so many people throwing their entire weight and lives behind the 2-3% chance that they will become on the level of the producer that they most look up to. Right? They're putting their entire savings, their entire 20s and teens behind the 2-3% chance that they will become as big or bigger than their favorite music producer. That's not to say it's impossible, but it's to say that the odds are against you. The odds were against me. And I looked online and I was like, there's so many people giving advice for how to get in this industry who are, one, not in the industry. And two, they're giving this weightless advice that literally leads people into more debt or leads them into destruction. But how would they know if they've never actually been in the industry, right? So I started looking at all of these clowns, these characters, and I'm like, no. There's a void. There's a void. Somebody's got to speak up and give the real about what's going on here. Right? And at the time, it was like slim pickings in terms of YouTube creators that were going to give you a perspective where it was like, look, I have the receipts, not just some guy. I'm not just some guy. I got the receipts. And I'm going to tell you, based upon my experience and based upon the experience of my peers, based upon all these things that I've compiled, all this evidence I've compiled, you may want to look at alternative routes. You should look at alternative routes, especially ones that promote your independence. YouTube was another pivot, and that pivot was financed by beat selling. So get this. You're making between 2-3 G's a month from selling beats, right? My first year, that was about the average. It started getting up a little higher, like 3-5 G's a month, right? And mind you, it's still just me. I don't have a team at this point in time. It's still just me. I'm still answering emails. You're going to have to wear a lot of hats that maybe don't feel comfortable for you, but you got to do it because this is your business. and nobody's going to represent you better than you. But you're making between $3,000 to $5,000 a month, right? Things are going pretty good. That money, a portion of that money, needs to be invested in the event that something happens with the industry that you're currently in. In the event that anything happens, right? I was one crazy physical injury and some bills away from that money getting ate up really, really quick. Right? Anything could have happened at that point in time. Life is crazy like that. Thank God it didn't. Some things happened, but thank God that what I was thinking of did not happen. So you're going to need to diversify. A portion of that money that you are now making needs to be invested into things like equipment that I ended up buying for my YouTube channel, right? The cameras, the microphones. That's getting financed from that. But me financing that and then financing things like courses to teach me how to master this YouTube space made YouTube become another stream of income. Because I put my energy and a fraction of what I was making from selling beats into this investment that was YouTube, YouTube eventually started to, because of the courses and things that I took, became another stream of income that, because it was unexpected, I didn't look at that as money to pocket. I looked at that as now I have more money to invest into the things that are actually working so I can increase my cash flow. So now I'm taking this YouTube money that wasn't a whole lot, right? When I first started understanding what to do, I think it was like $112 a month. Cool. That now can be pushed into ads that are going to create an even bigger cash grab and cash flow from selling beats that will then enable me to even upgrade my equipment, right? It's a whole lot to do with $112, Curtis. Well, I'm not at the same time, right? But because of that, I was able to put that into there. And it was like this system, this ecosystem that I'm talking about that started to finance itself. And the more power that was given to the selling beats, the more opportunities there were in YouTube. So now I got this YouTube channel. It's starting to take off. I'm doing videos. I'm using what I have. I have, you know, an iPhone. I'm using a lavalier mic that connects to the iPhone. Then I start to speak in a way that producers weren't used to hearing. Artists weren't used to hearing. This eventually opens up the opportunity for one-on-one consultations. This, of course, opens up the opportunity for beat critiques, which is something I didn't necessarily like doing, but it was something else that, once again, created a stream of income. So now I got the YouTube, I got this, and this is when you start to see you don't have to do it all your own, right? Like you do in the beginning have to do all of this, but you're going to get layups because you have momentum. So now I got the beat selling, that's doing well. I know I'm forgetting something. I'm just trying to kind of get off the top of my head. Beat selling, that's doing well because I'm not having to pay, you know, a graphic designer or a video editor. I'm doing all of this stuff myself. I got the consultations that are doing well, the critiques. I got the YouTube that is doing well. Then you start to get layups, right? Then guys are like, you know what, I'm going to reward you for your hard work. That's when I get an email about possibly creating a book. Interesting. Wasn't really looking at it as a stream of income. That's never what I'm going into first. But once you get this ecosystem started, one idea inspires another. One investment fuels another. So then I start to get into this book, this idea of writing a book. The reason I had the time to write a book, right, and take days and days and days off from what I was doing was because, once again, I reinvested the YouTube money into the beat selling. I had one-on-one consultations that took about 30 minutes to an hour. That was reinvested into what I was doing. right? I'm still taking care of the essentials because there's a base. That's, I said, once I get this, I have my essentials taken care of. I'm not spending it on drip. I'm not spending it on, that's not, no, shout out to the homie Kyle. That's not about your plugin. It's about clothes and all of the extra. I'm not spending this on no car that I cannot afford, right? No housing situation I can't afford. I'm reinvesting this back into the business because, once again, this is strengthening the ecosystem. It's a healthy ecosystem when you have multiple things and you're diversifying what you're doing. So, working on the book now, but that's fuel because I have time from selling beats. Selling beats is not, wasn't at that point in time, wasn't something I had to every single day get up and clock in and make beats for. I released 5 beats in a 7-day span, or 4 to 5. My customers were happy. Didn't have to do much. In doing that, in writing the book, it got me thinking about things like, man, are there other ways that I can share these stories that I'm writing about right now, or help me sort of like hash out these ideas that I'm writing about? Damn, what if I did a podcast? Once again, these are not money ideas first. A lot of folks lead with, how can I make some more money? Ooh, let me find these different streams of income. It wasn't about the streams of income. This was, what is the natural pivot, the natural transition from what I'm currently doing right now that'll make sense, right? And that wouldn't be, even if I take a loss, because I'm not, I don't want to give you the impression that every single time I pivoted, it was a win in the beginning. It wasn't. There was a lot of things I took losses on. One of those being inspired by Nipsey Hussle after he put out his $100 album. I put out a $100 box set that had like all the Curtis King music videos on a DVD. It had all my albums that I had released, physical CDs. It had socks with my logo on it. It had, like, it was a game box. And shout out to Tone. He was my brother Tone, who was the first one to buy it, right? I think it wasn't that many sales that I got of that, but I had the space to take chances like that. I made a game box, and in making that game box, it connected me with a graphic designer named Milk Chamberlain that basically we were constructing these things from scratch. And that alone, that part of the experience made it worth it, even if I lost thousands of dollars on it, which I did. But I have the opportunity to lose thousands of dollars on it because I'm generating thousands of dollars. To take an L like that and still be able to say, all right, cool, let's pivot again. But these are the things that are going to be required of you. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and I want to kind of like make sure that I not only compile these, but also give you some other things to look out for. But this is what it looks like. And I start to understand why, for a lot of people, they want someone else to take the wheel for them. They want the industry and the machine with all its employees. I understand why they want someone to take it for them. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do it my way. And there's so many other avenues that were not available back when I started doing this in 2012, 2013. We'll talk about those right after this break. Shout out to our sponsor, Vocalia Doubler, who are powering the podcast, turning your voice into MIDI. The Curtis King Podcast is proudly sponsored by the Vocalia Doubler. What is a doubler? Well, I think better than telling you, I should show you. You trying to tell me I can use this microphone to make beats, to make melodies, to make chord progressions? I can use my voice? I'm all in. Pretty cool, right? Check this out. The Vocalia Doubler represents the future of making music. The Vocalia Doubler is a real-time voice recognition MIDI controller. It offers up a never-before-seen way to translate your musical ideas into reality, using the one instrument you've been practicing since birth, your voice. Make more of the music you love without having to worry about how to get your ideas into your DAW. Before the Doubler even sponsored this podcast, I picked it up just because I'm a geek about technology. And I personally picked up the Doubler Studio Kit, which allows you to hum a melody, a synth pattern, or even beatbox one shots right into FPC if you use FL Studio or whatever DAW that you're using. This also allows you to manipulate effects and filters in a way that only the voice can. To get the Studio Doubler Kit, all you got to do is access getdoubler.com/Curtis King. Once again, shout out to our sponsor, Vocalia Doubler, for powering the Curtis King podcast. I really appreciate them as a sponsor on this podcast. So we're going to bring these thoughts together now and really hammer down some micro, smaller pieces to focus in on, right? Because I don't want folks to get the impression that it's as easy as it may sound, or that it's as overwhelming as it sounds. Because no matter what you get into, even if you go the industry route and you have them sort of put people in place that you can delegate these things to, and your money is sliced up in all these different directions, and there's always, you know, even if you do go into that space, at that point that you pivot to control more of your business, you're going to inevitably end up back here, except now you got a lot more people that you got to split the pie with, right? Cut the pie up with. Independence as a music producer or as an artist, it means that you have so much freedom that sometimes it's dangerous. Because one of the most dangerous things for me was the day that I realized I set my goals too low. I was pursuing the industry for shallow reasons. Like, I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be validated. I wanted to be legendary in the eyes of people that love the kind of music that I love. I wanted to work with the artists that I looked up to so that I can feel like my pivot into music, my journey into music was worth something. And those all have one thing in common: insecurity. Insecurity that I wasn't able to recognize, probably didn't want to acknowledge, but that's what they all had in common. The pivot into independence became not, I have to do all these things. Damn, I got to make a podcast. Man, I got to answer emails. Man, I have to video edit my own stuff. Excuse me. I got to get up and I got to like determine some kind of a schedule. Like, isn't that what I got away from work for? Man, I got to do all these. I got to know how to use a camera and know what an f-stop is and know what color, auto white balance is. Like, what? That's not what I came here for. I got to do social media too. Oh, my God. It can be very overwhelming. I get that. But it is only like that when you're not leaning into it. What do I mean? I don't get to this work and say I have to do this. This is all work that I want to do. I fucking love this. Like, I love it. There's days I don't feel so loving towards it. There's days this podcast, like today, before I started the podcast, my tripod broke. And that meant that the podcast would eat a bigger portion of my day because now I had to run down to Best Buy and, you know, get this back in here. But these are problems that are high quality problems. I don't mind these problems. No matter what you choose in your journey, there's going to be problems. Even if it's doing what you love, there's going to be problems on that level. You cannot duck from problems. You cannot cross over problems. You cannot hezzy, tween, tween, step back your problems. They're going to be there. Cannot hide from them. What you can determine is the quality of problems that you have and your perspective on those problems. So, for me, I love having the problem of damn, I have a lot of things to do today. In order for this to look seamless, in order for this to continue to go on, oh man, I got to make sure that I tap in with my assistant. I got to make sure that I tap in with my video editor. I got to make sure that I tap in with this company that reaches out to me. I got to make sure that I write all these things down. I got to make sure that I prepare for this live stream that's happening Tuesday. I got to make sure that I get on the phone with my publisher for my book and make sure that I'm able to have books ready for this Barnes & Noble book signing. I have to make sure now, as I pivot back into selling beats, that I go and do my proper research about how the market has changed. I got to make sure, like, I love this, though. These are things that I want to do. They're not always fun. But the best part about it is the lifestyle that is required to have it. No, I'm not going into a studio in LA. I'm in my house. I got the air conditioner pumping. Yeah, I got to pay that. That's cool. I got these lights going. I got this logo down here. Excuse me, down here. I'm going to get here. That I created from scratch. Right? I got this OBS setup that I had to create from scratch. And I have control over every single element of this. I had to figure out the scene switching. I had to geek out for a little bit and learn how to hack my OBS and make it do the things that I wanted to do. Right? I have to learn a lot of things through courses. But look at the fruits of this labor. For other people, they may look at it and say, well, you ain't riding a Lamborghini, or you're not da 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 da, or you're not, you don't have these things. And I'm like, but that's for you. For me, being able to walk downstairs and know that my family is down there, and if my son needs something or my wife needs something and needs me to do something, I have the flexibility to say, I can put a pause on work to go do that. Not everybody has that flexibility. And I don't take it for granted. Knowing that I still love music even more than I did when I first started, or just as much, right? On the bad days, I just love it just as much as when I started. On the great days, I love it even more. All of this is fueled by music. And not just music that I had to create to become popular, but music that I love. Right? Like, my recent pivot into TikTok does not happen as quickly in terms of the success that I'm seeing. The traction doesn't happen if I'm not doing me. If I don't have the audacity to say, yeah, I know there's a lot of trap beats and there's a lot of these type of beats on here right now, but I'm just finna hit this whole TikTok with some boom bap. I'm finna hit it with some, like, super left field trap beats, or not even trap beats, super left field beat battle beats, and then have a week like I had last week where I call it the Olympic duets, and I basically challenge rappers to rap over these beats that producers say rappers couldn't rap over. Yeah, those are dope, but nobody can rap over those. How would you know, head ass? You ain't never rapped a Daniel. How would you know? And then the rappers started rapping over. Of course. Everybody wrong, even the clock, two times a day. Come on, man. But I have the flexibility that if I have an idea, it is a very short process from having that idea to executing the first draft. I don't have to run it by anybody. I don't have to wait for somebody to give me the thumbs up or an okay. I love that. Some people, that feels like a nightmare. They want to always have somebody there that can, like, give them the okay. And you know what? I'm not here to judge that. That is something that you have to find peace with. But for me, the control of my time, the flexibility of my time, the one thing that I can never buy or get more of simply by paying, that is the most valuable thing to me. The freedom to do and create whatever it is that I want to create, right? To not feel pressured to do anything except for do me. The opportunity that I can just sit here and like, even when we created Curtis King University, right? In its original form, it did not work out successfully like I had envisioned. But it created opportunity. It built relationships. So many of you that are here right now at this podcast are here because of that connection we had there. So even when you take your L's in this independence, it's a win like no other. Hear me again. When you take your L's as an independent producer, it is still a win like no other. And my friends, when you get your wins as an independent music producer or creator or whatever it is that you do, there's no feeling in the world like it. It is a drug all in itself. It is a drug all in itself. Right? Because I know that, you know, when you look at celebrities and you look at folks that are supremely popular, their failures are always highlighted bigger than their wins. Right? Folks love to talk about people's downfalls or their times in court or when they did something or somebody accused them of doing something. And even if they were acquitted, they still hold that up, right, to define who this person is and what their character is, even when they have failed business situations. People love to bring that up, even as inspiration for other people. The beautiful thing, and I had this epiphany when I was talking to my friend Concept Beats. I was like, I think God put me in a situation to be the Curtis King that I am, have the type of viewership that I have, so that producers out there who might be on the fence between should I be independent, should I be a major label, should I pursue getting the producers that are in that sort of tug and pull, right? They can look and see someone that has achieved things that feel so attainable. It's been crazy how many opportunities that I've had to significantly grow the viewership and what we're doing. Like when we have folks who have larger audiences, like the homie Simon Sabita, Kyle Beats, and even like Eric from Omnisphere. Every single time someone came to this channel that could have exposed them to what we have here going on, very intimate thing that we have going on here, technical issues ensued every single time. So much so that if I was on the other side, I probably wouldn't subscribe to the guy. He can't get it together. Talking about myself, of course. Every single time there was a layup. And I know some of these folks, like, you know, like the folks that I mentioned, you know, they appreciate what I do and they just want to help. But every time someone tries to help that has the ability to do that, it has a larger audience, some shit always goes left. And I, for the longest, I had problems like, why is this happening? Like, I stay on my P's and Q's every other time. Why is this happening now? Right? Especially because, you know, as an independent, like, you, collaboration is huge. The message I got this last week was that it was not meant to happen like that. It wasn't meant to happen like that. You needed to create what you created right here with the foundation you already have, brick by brick by brick. Not only because you'll appreciate it more, but because of the example you set for other producers that are looking and saying, and I'm not talking about the head asses that are like, why would I want to just be some kind of youth? Like the ones that completely try to, you know, micro the accomplishments that I have as a producer. I know myself. And I know damn well what I have done is something to be supremely proud of, something that is extremely rare, something that every day I'm grateful to say that I've accomplished all the things. And I don't sit around thinking about my accomplishments like a lot of folks want you to. I don't do that. I achieve and keep moving, right? I achieve and leave. But there's someone, and it may be you watching or listening, that's saying, you know what? I don't know if I want to play the lottery with this music career that I love, right? I don't know if I want to play the lottery like that. I think that I'm prepared to build this thing brick by brick. And I believe that I'm listening to someone that has not only done that for themselves, but is continuing to do that. And is doing it in a way to where I'm not in any expensive foreign cars riding around here. That's not what I'm doing. Right? Especially as a dad, like, regardless financially where things are at, that wouldn't make any sense. Why would I want to have Lamborghini doors with a 3-year-old and my heavy-handed ass? Why would I want Lamborghini? It doesn't even make any sense, right? But I do believe that my story is one that a lot of folks out there see themselves in me. And they see how attainable this is. And in order for that connection to be real, in order for them to continue to have someone that's an example, because even I had to have someone that was an example of what this could be. And that changed, right? Just like it may change for me, maybe somebody else that you go and you have that experience with. But first, it was Superstar O. Seeing someone that was able to create what they love, do what they love on a daily basis, was so much fuel for me to watch him vlogging and he getting his car delivered to his big old house. And when he rebuilt his studio, that meant so much to me at that place, because that was like on those days where I was like, where is this going? You know, is it worth it? Da, da, da. Those are the things I watched and I said, even though I don't want exactly what he has, seeing the bar be set up higher made me want to set my own bar higher and expect for myself to show up and do the work necessary. So I don't mind being that. So the next time somebody, or you hear somebody, or you wrap your lips around and say something like slept on, no, I'm walking in purpose and I understand that. Being independent is a lot of work. But the rewards that you reap for your independence are like none other. Being independent is something that you cannot half-ass. You cannot have one foot in independence and one foot in a pursuit of the traditional industry and expect to be extraordinarily successful. You may do okay in both of those. But you're not here for mediocrity. At least I would like to hope that you're not here for mediocrity. You got to commit yourself to one of them and give everything to it. Because there's a chance that you still commit yourself to one of those and they don't work out as according to your vision or your plan. There's still that chance. So why would you want to lower your chances? Right? Why would you want to decrease your chances of actually being successful in that space by spreading yourself too thinly and doing things that don't, at the end of the day, add up to your bottom line? One more thing from that Tim Ferriss book, and we'll expand upon this because I think I'm seeing it's way too much to gather in one episode, but just think of this one as the seed in the ground to prepare your expectations for what it means to be an independent music producer. We'll continue to dive into this. But one quote from Tim Ferriss, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but the idea was this, especially when you get into the space where you're doing this full time, because you're going to get to the same place I got to when I was doing the consultations, doing the YouTube, doing the interviews, doing, you know, the writing the book, selling beats, or, you know what I'm saying, trying to get sync and licensing, like, or doing all these different things that I was doing, you get to that place where it's like, what should I be focused more on? What should I be dedicating my time to? And Tim Ferriss says something that still resonates with me to this day, in that instead of exerting your energy towards all these things, reserve the majority of your energy for the thing that it's actually fueling everything else. Exert the majority of your energy towards the thing that is most important to your bottom line of your business. At that point in time, that was selling beats. Well, you can't sell beats without beats. So to go a little bit deeper, it was making music. That's what I was exerting most of my energy towards, making the music, investing the energy necessary to make a product that is a representation of my passion, of what I love, and then packaging it up, and then presenting it in a way so that artists who don't know who I am understand the world that I am coming from. And that pivot, that focus, fueled so many opportunities that were away from just the first stream of income. This is what started to create an ecosystem. The podcast doesn't make me any money, right? Like, whenever there's this, I shouldn't say any money. When sponsors are involved, yes, that will generate you income, right? Obviously, when this podcast was on the Curtis King TV channel, the ad revenue from the watch time was there. But right now, that money that was from the sponsor is already invested, reinvested into the business and gone. The ad revenue doesn't exist, right? So this is about having an outlet that, one, on a personal end, gives me the opportunity to take all these ideas that would otherwise float randomly throughout my brain and structure it and bring it to you in a way that is raw and authentic. And I get to just almost like, it's almost like a diary. And then the second benefit of this is I get to provide you information that will give you perspective, possibly inspire you, that you can listen to before you cook up, as you're at work, on your way to school. There's all these different benefits because of this one piece of the ecosystem. And somebody may only be a fan of the podcast, which is crazy to me, because I don't see myself as quote unquote podcaster. I just see the podcast as an audio visual vehicle to deliver a clear and cohesive message to the people that need to hear it the most. And in doing this, if you enjoy the podcast, or you enjoy the way that I articulate ideas, that may make you want to one day say, I think I want to take a course from Curtis. Or, you know what? I forget he's selling beats. Let me go check out his beat store. Or, you know what? Forget that he's the owner of a sound design. I told you something I forgot. Owner of a sound design company called Slap Experts that has plugins. Man, maybe I should go tap into that, because I just really rock with his movement. It's not up to me to decide what thing is going to be that thing. It's up to me to exert my focus in the places that make the most sense. That's why now we automate the podcast. Me sitting here for 4 or 5 hours editing it doesn't make any sense. So now it's automated. Better use of my time, a better use of your time, and independence or die, man. All day, every day. Once again, you have been watching and are listening to the Curtis King Podcast. Make sure that you give us a 5-star rating on whatever distributor that you're listening to, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, no matter where it's at. Leave some commentary, leave a rating. It genuinely helps this podcast grow. I want to say thank you so much for listening and sharing this with other folks. I like this on this channel. I feel a lot more freedom in doing this, but just want to say I greatly appreciate you. I wish you the best throughout this week. Thank you for staying tapped in with this. Make sure you leave some comments here on the YouTube, the Curtis King Podcast YouTube, because that also will help us. But like I always say, in this life, you will not be full of life until you decide to live life to its fullest. Once again, it's Curtis King of the Curtis King Podcast. Have a good one.